I am going to start the recording without Adam, because where the fuck is he?
Album.
And
we even named the episode after him.
It's crazy. Oh, he just showed up. Perfect. Good timing. It's crazy because he would listen to this part, you know, mm-hmm. for the episode. He would listen to us shit talk him because he's late. And there he is.
My God. Look at this guy.
Oh, it's shorts. Wait. Wait, it's the Adam Groundhog Day.
Yeah. That was a couple weeks ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
Adam put on shorts, so it's officially hot outside. Nice.
Thank you.
That was cool. Yeah, we're already going.
That's what I figured. nothing is going my way today.
So. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. It happens.
Well, then
I walked outside, my car wouldn't unlock, and I'm like, that's cool.
Wow.
Great. Walked inside to go get the other key, realized I forgot headphones, so I grabbed the headphones and then forgot the other key and went back out to my car, and it worked just fine. So,
oh, wow.
We'll see if I can get home.
Incredible. Well, then I rescind my shit talking.
No, it's
taken back. Taken back. Nope. I take it back.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And I feel like I was especially mean to you last week, but that's neither.
You might have been. I don't know.
Did you not listen?
You didn't listen?
I had a very busy week.
Oh, okay. Fair.
I didn't listen to anything.
Okay, that's totally fair.
I didn't even test if the audio worked.
My God.
Until I posted it, and I was like, I should probably make sure it downloads and hits play. So
incredible.
I did do that.
Hey, where were you? I assumed you were helping your wife.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I was like, I think I know what he's doing.
Got it.
Don't know where he is.
I was cosplaying a tech theater sound guy.
You looked the part.
I don't know if that's a nice thing to say.
It is.
I think it's okay.
You look like a tech guy.
Oh, that's fair.
Jesus.
There was a point where the actual tech theater, like director for the school, was like he was explaining something, but trying to like dumb it down, thinking he needed to. And I'm like, no, you go, man. You can just keep explaining what you were going to do. Like, I don't understand 100% of what you're saying, but I understand it and can follow along.
He was
trying to come up with a different word for an XLR cable.
Oh, no. Explain it.
I was like, no, I'm good. I got that.
Yeah. Dude, I'm on a podcast, dude. Don't you know I'm on a podcast,
I didn't go that far.
You should have went that far.
What word was he saying for XLR?
Powered audio cable. Because he was trying to convey that you don't need power to the thing. And I was like, I don't see how that's relevant here.
Bro, that would be crazy if you had to plug your cable in.
And another power cable?
Yeah, for your cable. You had to plug a power cable in for all your mic cables to make them work. What year is it? Holy shit.
I mean... You know,
sure.
That makes sense to some people who've never messed with any of this.
100%, 100%.
It was just funny, and then the power went out in between the first night and the second night because there was a storm.
Oh yeah.
So I got
on
there
on Saturday,
and then the mains didn't work at all. Like none of the speakers, nothing worked.
Jesus.
And I was like, hey, so like I'm guessing there is a closet somewhere I can go restart this gear and it'll be fine.
A breaker?
Yeah, well, no, just like the whole rack.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. And he was just like. Yeah, she told me it wasn't working, so I was like, gonna come up there, but I'm out of town. I'm like an hour and a half away. And I was like, no, I think I can probably figure this out. It's all right. Like, you don't have to do this.
Uh-huh.
Like, and it turns out that was it.
So good.
It's good that I understand enough of what's going on to
seem
like I know what I'm talking about.
When I say you guys do an episode without me, you could figure that out. You could do it.
No.
I could.
You could.
No. Yeah. You said you could? Then you're producing. Because also, I think
you could figure it out.
I probably could. It'd be a little weird to be in your house without you.
I think that would be the weird part.
That would be the weird part.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay. Sure.
I don't know.
That's fine. I think you guys could figure it out. It's not fucking rocket science over here. That piece of equipment does everything for you.
I could do that. I know how to operate that thing.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know if I'd want to operate that thing.
If I needed to put some sort of filter or compressor or something on, I'd be fucked.
Nah, you could figure it out. You could figure it out.
Nah.
It's not that hard. It's not. Fucking babies use this shit, man.
I'd end up with like the
whole time. But it wouldn't be in your headphones and you wouldn't know.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Accidentally pressed a button, you have no idea. That's crazy. Morning. Welcome to Don't Feed the Artists. I'm Hagen.
I'm Dave.
I'm Adam.
Welcome back.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
I wasn't here last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what you guys talked about other than the title.
Yeah, because usually you change my title. I just name the file
not always,
something.
It depends.
Sure, yeah.
It depends.
I just name the file something and upload it for
yeah.
you to upload.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just took the file name I used and used, which was fine.
I hope that you talked about those things because I like I didn't confirm and I didn't know what the second word was.
JoJo Siwa.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
It's okay. I didn't know really who she was.
So I assume this is either a real person. Yes. Or this is something that y'all made up, and it's part of a bit, and it should be in there anyway.
I don't know. I don't know what that second word is.
But it worked. So.
You just, dude, it's so funny because after talking about her last week, I'm getting so many videos about
course,
her and
yeah.
my algorithm.
It's actually crazy, too. Now that you mention this about that, like everyone knows what Coachella is.
Yeah.
But for a non-English speaking person who doesn't know what Coachella is, that looks like a mess of not. Coachella yeah. and JoJo Siwa was yes. the name of our episode last week. And it just looks like a mess.
It you could have just, on a keyboard, just mashed a couple keys and been like, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, now this one's called Double Album, but now that you're here this week, I kind of want to call it Triple Album.
Okay.
What?
Because we're talking about double albums with album.
Oh, so there's, okay, yeah.
Three albums.
Yeah.
Sure, okay,
but
yeah.
then, are we talking about triple albums? Because I'm not prepared for that.
No, we're not. I mean, Hagen might.
I mean, I guess we might
prepared for
anyway,
triple albums?
But. Yeah.
Well, how in what world would, like...
Well, I don't know.
That first of all, not relevant.
No.
Second of all... No.
Kind of relevant.
I guess.
If we're talking about double albums.
Guys, this is not the important part today. We're not even there yet. You're fucking skipping way ahead. Today is a very important day. It's National Denim Day.
And I failed as the resident Canadian.
You fucked it up.
I didn't wear my tuxedo.
Yeah, you should have known that.
For all
I fucked up.
I think it's okay I didn't know that.
Every day is a day, though.
What do you?
And
what?
I don't keep track of that.
Every day is a day.
Every
that
day
is astute,
National
that is an,
Something
that is,
Day.
That is an astute observation.
Thank you. Thank you. Even deeper.
I know what he's trying to say.
Every day is some sort of national day.
I know what he's trying to say, too. But the way he said it
he's
was...
He's being rude.
Every day is a day. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's deep as fuck.
Dude, I can go deep.
That is also... Awesome. Where's the... There we go.
That's directed at you. You know what I meant. You're just being rude.
What do you mean?
When I said every day is a day, how am I supposed to know?
Wanting the you can go deep.
Oh.
Yeah, because I thought that was some innuendo.
No.
Yeah, you didn't intend that as...
No.
Really?
No.
Really?
Okay. No.
No. No. Really? Can we rewind the tape? Because that's the way you said that.
I wish.
Sounded like it was some innuendo.
No. No, I'm saying I can go deep, like, philosophically. I don't know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right.
How did you find out that it's National Denim Day?
Because probably. The bearded monk is celebrating National
okay.
Denim Day.
That's not what I expected.
So I saw that on social media. Oh, I got
that. That was going to be my answer.
Hold on. I have two things running on the fucking screen. Also, I mentioned this at the fucking top, man, but for everyone who's listening right now and not watching, please come over to YouTube. We are... 10 away from 100 subs on YouTube, which means nothing but a cool milestone.
It's a cool milestone.
It's
fun.
Go to YouTube and then you can go back to your podcast app. It's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Just press that subscribe button for us. It helps. It's like I'm saying it now and on social media. Find us there and follow us there too.
Yeah.
Please and thank you. I meant to say it at the very, very top, but we were making fun of Adam being late. And then I felt bad about it, so I'm taking it back. So we did a checkup on Adam. You had a busy... You're still busy.
Yeah, you're still busy. Yeah.
Can't get in your car.
Yeah.
Dave, how have you been?
Busy too.
Nice.
Busy as well.
Busy too, Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah.
Sick.
Speaking of, you briefly mentioned that storm.
Speaking of Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. I drove in the thunder and lightning last Saturday to my gig, and it was terrifying.
Yeah.
I had to go to Weatherford. Never really have been there. And
that's far.
It was, yeah. And it took a long time. And I was going like 55 on the toll road.
Yeah. That's
not fun.
Like was that you're saying that's fast?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
No,
good. Yeah, no, that's the speed
yeah,
you should
was,
go. That's
yeah,
good.
In the
yeah.
rain.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
Not the trucks though. They were going 80.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's just another day.
Dude, I hydroplaned at one point.
Every day is another day.
Called my wife because I was brain farting. I was like, what do I do when I hydroplane?
Were you in the middle? No.
And I was.
So this is after it happened.
Yeah.
In case this happens again.
Because my instincts were take your feet off the gas, hold the steering wheel steady, and just ride it out.
I'd love to imagine that you hydroplaned and you went, Siri, call my wife. Sorry, Siri. No, shut. Stop. Stop.
No.
Siri, stop it.
So we're learning that you don't use your HomePod for anything.
I use it for stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing with your phone, apparently.
So yeah, it's not even set up to his phone. to make phone calls.
Like, this is the first time you've ever used me to call anyone.
To be fair, I don't actually use it for that. I use it for other stuff. I use it for others, playing other stuff. But that's scary.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
It was so scary. And then the wedding that I was playing at was supposed to be outside, so we were supposed to have more time and more room to get set up, and they had to move it inside, obviously, because it's raining. The whole place was muddy.
Yeah.
And it was just a fun gig. They were a great wedding crowd, but terrifying.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's so scary. Yeah. I hate driving already, but
yeah. Well, and that's we've been in the car during storms.
Oh, dude. And I'll never forget that fog. I know we brought it up several times on the show, but driving back from Austin.
Yeah. Yeah.
We couldn't see anything. And in that story again, trucks were just
Yeah, it's kind of it makes sense for trucks to do. I mean, like, it doesn't make sense, like, the logical sense of, like, trucks shouldn't do that, but it makes sense because truckers, like, this is just their livelihood. They're just accustomed to driving in any condition.
They've been in all the weather.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. That's truckers. I'm talking about douchebags who drive lifted trucks.
Yeah.
Well, they just think they're smart.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Well, no, sorry.
Or they don't realize how stupid they are.
They are just incredibly more badass than you, and the fact you don't understand that is just part of their point.
There you go.
Okay.
And you don't get it.
We got to get on their level.
Yeah, when's your Cybertruck get here?
Dude, it's on the way. It's on the way, baby.
Accelerator stuck. It's going to just keep going.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you got to the gig safe and sound.
Me too.
I'm sorry you had to do all that, but you know, it's just rain. You know?
It's also par for the course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How was your week?
It's raining a lot. So. It's good. I saw a band I like a lot called Hot Mulligan, and I talked about some of it on Fun Friday. But there's a couple things. Just first of all, amazing show. I was blown away by how many people were there. I was like, I didn't think that many people liked this band, and it was cool to see that. There's like a packed room at the Factory, not sold out, but close to, right?
Right.
But the lead guy was so fucking hilarious, and there's so many things I could mention about like how funny he was. But the big thing that caught me was that he, like, the whole crowd was screaming along. It's an emo crowd, so everyone's screaming every lyric along with the guy who's screaming on stage. So he goes up to the front of the crowd and he goes. Hey, everyone in the balcony, raise your hand if you know the lyrics. And they all start cheering and raising their hand and stuff. And he points up and goes, liars, you're fucking lying.
Those are the money seats.
He's like, if you knew the lyrics, you'd be right here in the front with everybody else screaming along. And then he started flipping off the balcony and had everyone down in the crowd start flipping off the balcony.
I like this.
Yeah. And then as soon as it kind of like calmed down, he's like, see how easy it is to rile up a crowd? And then they just started the next song right away. It's like, it was incredible.
That, and he's also not wrong. Dallas crowds, those are the worst people.
It was kind of crazy. I actually really enjoyed the crowd. I enjoyed like the whole, I had like really no negative thoughts except for drinking at the Factory is expensive.
Yes.
But I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, that's not new. Yeah.
Oh, and the merch line was like offensively long. That was also like.
Also
like,
always in a bad spot there.
Yeah.
It was in a fine spot, but they like arranged the line in a way that was like, I don't know why you did this. This is not working out. And then people aren't following it. And so no one knows where the line actually, I thought I knew where it ended. And then I like went to the bathroom and I was like, the line's over here. What is this? How is this working? But it was like a friendly crowd. Like it was nice. It was a great time. And, it's my era of going to shows by myself. So, it was also nice to go alone.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
That reminds me, I went to a show last week when I was really busy.
What?
Black Country New Road.
Oh shit.
Where at?
They were at Ferris Wheelers.
Cool.
In Dallas. Dude, okay. Never had been there.
What'd you think about Ferris Wheelers?
Cool place.
Yeah.
Didn't have any food, but.
Oh, food's good.
I didn't
food's
have food,
really good.
But yeah.
Food's really good.
And it was, oddly, I didn't hate the crowd at all. I have this whole thing about I hate Dallas crowds.
Yeah.
Everybody at that show wanted to be there. They were fucking quiet, paying attention.
That's
nobody's
awesome.
On their phones. Didn't have to, like, nobody said that.
Yeah.
And then at one point there was somebody who passed out or something. The band tried to get security over. And, like, as soon as they said anything, the crowd fucking, like, made two paths. And I was like, this crowd's great. This
wow.
Is great.
That's
I don't know how much of it is the band, how much is the venue. But, like, It was really cool.
Wow. Probably the band.
And they're really, yeah, that would be my guess. They're really cool live, which I don't think is a surprise. But,
yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. Was the Ferris wheel functioning when you were there?
No.
Yeah. It's bullshit. It's
false
only,
advertisement.
That's the only part of that place that's fucking bullshit is that they have this Ferris wheel that just doesn't work.
It's borderline false advertisement.
But it's just there.
Looks cool.
It looks cool. Yeah, it's definitely a vibe. It's a cool spot. I love that place.
They must be expanding some stuff.
Okay.
Because there's a bunch of like area that was like fenced off, like construction area. Cool. So.
I mean, it's a lot of land.
Yeah, there's a lot of like just who knows what's going on there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I played there, it was a ton of fun. It, like, the sound there is awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds really good.
I remember you saying the food there is really good, too. The
food there is great.
The food seemed like it was great. I just kind of, like, snuck in between doing my other stuff last week, ran down there, ran back up, so.
Nice, yeah.
But it was good.
It's a great spot. Well, cool. Live music. Live music to be seen everywhere. And for those who are in the Denton area this week, there's, like, Thin Line Festival and there's Fry Street Fair. So live music, as long as those things don't get rained out, which this weekend's going to have a ton of fucking rain.
That's true.
So
I'm supposed to play outside.
It's going to probably get rained out. Saturday's like thunderstorms all day. Yeah.
They should still do Fry Street Fair for, like, old time's sake. Well, it happened when it rained in the past.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Thin Line has a lot of stuff that's
Thin Line's got indoor venues.
Yeah, but all the outdoor stuff's going to get canceled.
That's too bad.
Lots of we're back for live music, everybody. It's springtime. Everyone likes it. We can go outside until it's too hot and then we can't go outside anymore.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about double albums. Why are we here to talk about double albums?
Somebody brought it up.
Thanks for answering the question.
It was not me.
The lead up to it. Yeah, I love that. It was perfect.
It sounds like you don't want to be talking about them.
No, I'm throwing it.
A popular artist just released a double album.
Oh, really? What? Who?
Surprise double album.
What? Who could that be?
Taylor Hawkins. Swift. Taylor Swift.
She changed her middle name.
Taylor Hawkins Swift.
Okay.
Yes, we are talking about double albums because Taylor Swift surprise released a double album. We knew that her new album was coming out last Friday, and then like Thursday night it was announced, like, oh, it's actually a double album.
The anthology.
Oh, it's actually 31 songs. Buckle in, everybody. Which is kind of like split into two, like half of it's produced by Jack Antonoff, the other half is produced by Aaron Dessner, I think is his name, from The National.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's kind of a cool way to do it, I guess.
Glenn Cochey from Wilco is all over the Aaron Dessner side, which is
he's the drummer, right?
Yeah. Which is super relevant to our last episodes about Wilco. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to talk about the Taylor Swift episode or the Taylor Swift album today. We're just here to talk about double albums as a whole and what that means. And for everyone who's, you know, sitting in your car listening or watching this live stream right now, who's like, yeah, it's just two albums. Hey, yeah, we know that. But there's more to it. There's a history to it.
But wait.
There's the idea of what an album is. Like, do you call it an album or do you call it a record?
There you go.
Like, there's so many layers to this and there's so many different approaches to it. Like, for example, we'll take a step back. But for example, one of probably the most well-known double albums in our lifetime is Outkast, Speaker Box and Love Below, which is an incredibly interesting version of a double album in that it is two solo albums done as like a duo, right?
Yeah.
So double albums can be done in a lot of different ways. But before we dive too deep into that, can you guys give me your understanding, definition of what a double album is?
When there is too much material to to fit on one medium. See, you didn't know where I was going with that. Huh? In the first half.
Too much.
Whatever medium the music is being released on, if there's too much to be on one of those things, then they'll put it on another one as well.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, yeah, obviously going back to like records, it was, you know, if it's longer than, what would we say, 45, 50 minutes?
44 minutes.
44 minutes.
Yeah.
22 minutes aside.
Yeah. So then anything longer than that on a CD, I don't know what the actual time is where it would split.
80 minutes.
It's longer, but they, you know, you still maybe don't fill the whole thing up because you kind of simulate the record side of it. Now with streaming, I don't understand if it matters at all.
Well, that's why it's an interesting topic.
Yeah.
Because nowadays with, like you said, with streaming, is it necessary to release something and call it a double album?
I don't know about necessarily. Yeah.
That I don't know about sense. Necessarily.
I don't know if it's necessarily. But
there is like a philosophical thing about like, I want to make an album that is two halves.
Sure.
That makes sense still in streaming. And if, you know, the streaming service has a way to separate them out as like two parts of the same record, that kind of makes sense. But if it's just like we have a lot of songs, then I'm not convinced that matters anymore.
Yeah, because I think Drake's or someone's latest album is like 32 songs on it, but they weren't saying that it was a double album.
Well, that is strange. I wonder why. I wonder what the... I mean, okay, so with the Taylor Swift thing of it all, because I think because there are two producers and it kind of splits it in half that way, I think that it is a pretty clear, like, cut and dry, like, cool, we have two distinct, like, halves of this record. I also think, like, with the Outkast example and with some records that are, like, here's a live and then here's...
also very common.
Those double albums make a lot of sense to me as far as, like, this is... But I the idea of a double album, I think, generally... like you said, came out of almost a place of necessity.
Yeah.
It came out of a place of like, we have a lot of material. This is how this has to happen. For example, I don't know exactly this is it falls in line, but it is a very popular double album, which is the White Album by the Beatles.
The Beatles.
And so that's an album that's like, you know, it's enough material to be like, cool, it's going to be a double album. Other such notable examples being Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Mm-hmm. That's a double album. Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti. That's a double album. So these releases have a lot of songs on them at the time where vinyl was the thing, such that you would need more vinyl to release it. Right. Now I think it's interesting.
I mean, that's a really easy thing to understand. I think it gets complicated with CDs because of the runtime difference, and then it's especially obviously complicated now.
Yeah.
But what with the records part, it was like it kind of seems like every artist in that era of having, you know, records as the primary medium for music, every artist did one double album, basically. Well, every large artist, rather.
Good point to bring that up, because usually it was the artist would do a double album at the height of their career.
Right, yeah.
But double albums were around in classical music and stuff like that for a while before.
Yeah. Right, but it was kind of, it seems like it was kind of a point, like with Led Zeppelin, for example, of like, you made it and you're like the most popular you will be potentially, and nobody's going to tell you don't do a double album, and you have the like artistic freedom to like, you know, paint on a bigger canvas, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And the Elton John example is kind of like that too, because that was right at the like, you know, upswing, if you will, of his like super popularity. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Ian in the chat says, I think a double album counts as two records sold. Maybe I could have pulled that out of my hat. Just a quick Google, I'm sure there's more I could look into. It says multi-disc albums are counted once for each disc within the album if it is over 100 minutes in length or is from the vinyl era. So it has to be over 100 minutes in length, I guess, for that to count. I mean, you're right. That is, a reason to do a double album, is that you could, at the time of selling physicals being like the primary thing, that can count for more sales for you.
Yeah, the artist is at the peak of their career.
Right.
Let's do a double album, get double the sales.
Well, and at this point, it effectively doubles your streaming time, right? If somebody, if you have a fan base like Taylor Swift does, who's listening to the full double album, suddenly she has, you know, 2 billion streaming minutes or whatever, and compared to whatever it would have been before.
That's true. That's very
like, so I wonder that kind of still translates to like the money making
potential.
The reason for the clarification of or 100 minutes is because you could say like, I'm going to put five songs on one disc,
right,
and five songs on another disc,
right,
and then I want double the sales.
Yeah.
For 10
or somebody
songs.
Thinks they're really smart, walks in like, let's do a triple album, one song on every record.
Yeah.
Right.
Wolfpack would have done something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a Jack Stratton move.
It's Jack Stratton Strat.
Yeah.
I think that is definitely a thing. Like you said, like classical music was a big part of this. There were a lot of like concert halls that would and they would do like releases of operas and stuff that were double, triple, and quadruple albums.
Yeah.
Which was very common.
Yeah. You have a medium that needs more space.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like anything in the world is like, oh, just that? Okay, well, let's do more.
Yeah, yeah.
multiply it.
I think it's interesting to consider the amount of time that fits on vinyl. Approximately 22 minutes per side is like... like a 44-minute album. It depends on the artist, I think, but that feels short.
I know.
That feels like very interesting to, you know, but then I think about like, you know, some records I listen to and I'm like, "Oh yeah, this is 30 under 40 minutes, you know."
Yeah. But so, not only that though, when you think about the constraints of 44 minutes when vinyl was the main form of medium, there could have spawned the reason for a B-side, or I mean obviously vinyl is A and B, but like records that were left on the cutting room floor because they simply couldn't fit on the vinyl. Not necessarily that they wouldn't make the cut as a song on their own.
Yes, yeah. And then as you know, as we go into like, which I mean, it takes time, I suppose. But like, you know, we hit the 70s, the latter half of the 70s, and then we get cassette tapes.
Yeah.
And cassettes were 30 to 45 minutes each side.
Yeah.
Which
up to 90 minutes.
Yeah. Which then is quite a bit more than your vinyl was.
Literally just about double.
Doubling it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which I think for this purpose of we have a lot of material, we needed to go somewhere is a great tool for that. And I think a lot about like flipping over vinyl, flipping over cassettes and stuff like that. And like I don't mind flipping over vinyl, but sometimes it's like the difference of like I am doing something and listening to music, so I'm not going to put on vinyl because I don't want to have to stop doing the thing I'm doing to go flip it over.
Right.
And so I'd rather just like put streaming on like my speaker in the kitchen and then call it a day kind of thing. Right.
Right. Yeah.
But like there is something too, like I imagine here, like, cool, we could buy the cassette, which is cheaper and has more music on it. It might sound worse, but we can just boom, put it in there. I get 40 minutes, which could be one album on one side and not have two sides.
Yeah. Right.
There's definitely, there have been some albums that I've had where I've had to like get, I you have to keep flipping them over and stuff, and I get annoyed and I'm like, I'm not going to listen to this anymore. Like,
yeah.
Even if I really like the album, it's like, I don't need to have this as a physical record. Right. And I'll be like, I guess I'm going to sell that one or like give it to somebody else or something because I'm like, it's just, there is a point where it's like, it is annoying for some stuff.
Yeah. I do, Dave and I were talking about this right beforehand. I do want to talk about this for a second because I do think it's interesting, which is the sequencing.
Yeah, and it's relevant to what we were just talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's manual sequencing and then automatic sequencing. Majority of double albums were manual sequenced. So album, do you know about manual and automatic sequencing?
I do not actually. Yeah.
So manual sequencing is pretty straightforward. The order of the sides are laid out like in order. So you have side one and two organized back to back, and then side three and four organized back to back. So that's like majority of your double albums.
Yeah.
Whereas automatic sequencing kind of like tied into like having the automatic like record player thing, right? So you had side one and four on one vinyl and two and three on another vinyl.
Oh, because it, okay. Yeah, so, I see. Yeah.
So one would play, it would switch automatically to two. You then stand up and flip it over to side three.
And then you're done.
And then you're done.
So that's three. You only have to change it once.
You only have to flip it over once.
Yes. Compared to three times.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is, that's an advancement, dude. Let me tell you.
The peak of innovation.
And you know that some motherfuckers were in a boardroom going, this is going to be the future of music, so we might as well get ahead of it. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
If you have a budget for a new record player.
But that was the iPad, the iPod.
Yeah, yeah, right.
iPad. Yeah. That was the iPad.
I realize this now. My grandfather had one that was like that, so that makes sense.
And like, I read about this, and I'm like, damn, that's fucking cool as hell. But like, fuck.
Now, because we've swung around again.
Yeah, but like, even still, that's cool as hell. Like, in the 70s, it's got to be cool as hell, but the problem is that
it would feel super futuristic.
Yeah.
So expensive.
Yeah.
So expensive.
A lot of moving parts that can break.
Having a high quality manual turntable was more affordable than having an automatic turntable.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of like you know world that you're in. And I guess too, this says that there was less record wear. So like if you were to use like the automatic one, I guess the machinery fucked your record up.
That makes sense.
It does make sense.
It totally makes sense.
The people who are designing this are like, oh, this is the fucking future. Let's not account for this. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, let's but that, get people to buy more records because we're going to break them in this machine. Oh,
the other thing was is that at that point in time, how many people in your neighborhood could afford one of those things?
True.
So yeah. Then not only that, you couldn't just go on Google and look up reviews.
Yeah.
So some big shots like, I'm going to buy the latest record player. And then like 6 months later, they're like, my fucking vinyl is ruined.
Oh, no, I have to buy new records.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah. Which I can afford to do. So I'm going to do it. Yeah.
It's brutal. It's, so. Yeah, go ahead.
It's just funny to think about the way that we progress through these things. Because at Nope, like, I have no idea if there were double A tracks.
There probably were.
Probably.
But, I mean, likely, but, like, it's not really in the history of double
right,
albums.
Yeah. Well, so then we make it to, like I said, cassettes. And then cassettes are around for a little bit. And then in 1982, we get the CD.
Mm-hmm.
And the CD had the chance of 74 minutes initially, which then went to 80 minutes per CD, which is like a fucking... But, you know, when you talk about classical music, and I think about being in school and taking like a music history class, and part of like the, you know, you get a book in that class, but you also have to buy like this fucking box set of CDs.
Yeah, a box set. Dude, yeah.
Which is like different than this, obviously, but it's similar, right? It's a fucking like 4 or 5 CDs of all of this music. So it makes sense that you would need a lot for all that classical music. Fuck. Yeah. But then that also kind of made it so double albums didn't become it wasn't like a necessity anymore. Like it wasn't, you didn't make 2 albums. It was less of a chance.
Because
less of a chance.
Technically cassettes had the ability to have more space on it. Up to 90 minutes with cassette, but then CDs were like up to 80 minutes. But it's continuous play.
Could you imagine, like, up to you have a record that's like 83 minutes long?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we got to cut fucking something.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to make a fucking another CD for 3 minutes. There's no way, dude. That would suck. The B side is
the
just
B side.
Is like
it's one song.
That's why, like, you need a 2-sided CD. Should have invented that.
Somebody should.
And that way you could just fuck up both sides.
I would love to put a 2-sided CD in my car and just
see how that goes.
Yeah.
But here's the thing is, so when these things are being invented, such as, let's talk about compact discs or CDs, the length of time that is available on the compact disc is determined by the size of the disc itself.
Yeah.
Okay. When they were invented, they could have made them a little bigger and it could have been 100 minutes.
Yeah, that's
yet
that.
We decided.
I mean,
80
I
minutes
think the main thing
enough.
There was they weren't invented for music first.
Compact discs?
Yeah.
Was it for
computer
data?
Shit. Yeah.
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 So like I think it has to do with like the density of that and then what can you fit into a format that most music playing things can read.
Right.
Because you can technically put, back in the day, you could burn an MP3 CD. Because MP3s couldn't be played by your like car stereo unless you had a fancy one.
Right.
And then that could play like, I think, 600 minutes.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
So, wait. So, I guess there might have been like a version of this that was created before this. Maybe I'm just looking at like the Article 4 compact disc. But compact disc was created specifically for like digital audio.
I guess it might have been. Yeah.
But there might have been like a version of it that wasn't patented compact disc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was like the technology. Because the technology started, the technology was... like being presented in the 30s of using like the light on a disc to make noise. So, but we didn't actually have the compact disc until 82. But
well, check back for more when we do the episode of on compact discs.
Dude, kill me. yeah, I mean, so it is an interesting thing to think about, like, you know, some of these records, like I guess these are all like before the CD, but like, you know, there's you know, Fleetwood Mac's Tusk, but all of these are before that. But then you have Here's the DJ, I'm the Rapper by DJ Jazzy Jeff
and Fresh Prince.
Yeah. And let's see how long that came in. Right at 85 minutes on vinyl and cassette, and CD came in at 72 minutes.
They had to cut some songs
for
the CD.
So yeah. if you wanted the whole thing, you had to get vinyl and cassette. So I guess that's how you fix it. I guess that's how you don't have to, you cut stuff for CD, but you still release the other one with the full material.
So it's right away we see the consumerism of it all with the record labels.
Multiple versions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You buy the CD, you get 74 minutes, but if you really want to hear the full album, You got to also buy the cassette tape.
Dude, hell yeah.
So,
and the vinyl.
I haven't paid any attention to the Taylor Swift stuff because I was kind of busy last week. Wasn't going to get into trying to listen to that album at all. People pre-ordered that, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, surprise, you have to buy another album?
I actually don't know how that worked. I don't know if maybe the pre-orders were just really expensive.
They were definitely expensive.
Yeah. I'll look into
that. I'm just curious. Like, that seems like a weird thing to do with a fan base who does pre-order your stuff and be like, surprise, here's another thing you don't have yet and you have to now order this.
Right. But
that feels kind of wrong. But that also is very on brand for the merch side of Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Sorry. Blake just put a cool fact in there about CDs. CDs were specifically made to last 74 minutes to hold Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
There you go.
Wow. Wow.
That's crazy.
Who would know? Who would guess a dead guy would have that much power over technology?
Dude.
He invented CDs.
Constantly. He did.
CDs nuts. Oh, nice.
Dude, that was cool.
That's redemption.
I don't know how the pre-order works. I'm not 100% sure, but
I didn't mean to like derail us completely.
No,
that's
super interesting.
It's an interesting thought because like most of these double albums that we're talking about, we're not like, surprise, here's another album. It's like, here is just a big album.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So that kind of then gets us into the world of streaming after the invent of the CD, and then you have streaming and iTunes, all that kind of stuff. I do think you made a good point earlier, Adam, that like when you stream, like when you have a double album on streaming, it does, I guess, potentially increase when you're an
artist.
Depending
on your fan
base, Swift. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about like smaller artists doing a double album, and it's like that's just daunting.
9 times out of 10, smaller artists are better off doing not even full length albums.
Right, yeah. You're better off splitting that into like 3 or 4 EPs.
Or he's even saying, hey, we're going to release this album over 2 or 3 or 4 EPs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's an interesting thing too. So like there is a mention in the Wikipedia article about double albums. It's called a sesqui album. Did you see this?
Yeah, I didn't really read about it.
So one, it's a
because it's a silly word.
1.5 records.
Oh,
so it's an album and a half. So okay. I'm going to use my favorite band as an example, and that's Between the Buried and Me, because they did basically what I would call weird examples of both the sesqui album and a double album, which is they released Parallax 1, the Hypersleep Dialogues, and then Parallax 2. And they were like, basically their reasoning was like, we were lazy, we wanted to write a double album, then we got lazy and wrote just that.
Okay. Yeah.
But they weren't packaged as such, which makes it not like qualified as either, I guess, a sesqui album or a double album.
Right.
And then they did Automata 1 and Automata 2. And these were also not packaged as a double album. I don't get why you would do, I get like if, cause they were written and recorded at the same time.
Yeah. But they were released different times.
Yeah. It's really strange. Yeah.
I mean, System of a Down did that. Right.
With
Mesmerize. Like, yeah. I don't know. That's weird.
Could be argued a double album.
Yeah.
But they were never like sold or promoted that way.
The Tragically Hip is mentioned here on the sesqui album. The vinyl reissues of 2 albums for the Tragically Hip, Trouble at the Hen House and Music at Work are on 2 discs, but the 4th side is blank.
Oh, wow.
So that is your example. That is right there for you. The Black Parade has 3 sides. So that is considered.
It's also considered a squee-squee album.
A squee-squee album. How long is the Black Parade? That's a good question for it to be a squee-squee. 51 minutes.
That seems like they were, what?
But I do think that there are times where I've had vinyl and I don't know a lot about vinyl. So for everybody who, if I clip this and post it online, everyone's like, you don't know what you're talking. Yes, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I have a podcast.
So that means you do know.
Yeah. Thank you. So like I have had vinyl where I'm like, wow, I feel like there's like 3 songs on this.
Yeah.
For why?
Yeah. It's an audio quality thing.
Yeah. So it must be just, it takes up more space. Like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, okay.
So the higher quality, the recording, the more space it takes up on a vinyl.
Basically.
On vinyl.
Yeah.
A vinyl.
So like
one
you can have
vinyl.
You can
one
have
of
an,
vinyl.
You can have an album like, I don't know how long the Them Crooked Vultures album is offhand, but
it's about an hour, I think.
So it's about an hour. It could be three records. Instead, it's four. Mm. And it's because they space stuff out to like do the right. higher quality. Because as you get closer to the middle of your record, the audio quality goes down.
Right.
Because okay. you're spinning around faster, right? So like there's yeah. a physics reason why it can't sound physics. Good at the end. So yeah. what you do instead is you just press, you know, three songs on a side and then leave more of a like gap at the end.
Right.
Inner part of the record. So,
then we get into when sequencing was like really, really important because.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's still important, but people would say, you know, like bands like Queen and I can't remember other examples, but they would say like, okay, side A, we want to open with a banger and close with a banger.
Yeah.
Or, and then side B, we want it to open with, you know, not so we don't want it to open with something boring. So then when we listen to albums now or CDs now that were first released on vinyl, then we go, man, the sequencing on this is interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like there's a banger and then there's like another banger and then like three ballads and a banger. And then it's like, yeah, because it was made for vinyl.
Well, that also happens in the other direction too of like mm-hmm. if you make an album now, you're not thinking about vinyl probably. Most artists are not if they're yeah. not Jack White. And so you'll put out an album and it's like, you just like the Them Crooked Vultures one specifically like stops after a really great song. And then it's like, I would like to hear more right now, but I have to go over and flip this first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it leads me to like more of like the necessity thing. No, because you, if vinyl could only fit a certain amount of space on each side. But if you use higher quality, so Blake in the chat says higher quality equals wider physical grooves, which
that's would, a better way of explaining what we're all struggling.
But as you said, that's for the quality of it, right? Yeah. Such as okay, so back then, could they have then done that and then fit less songs on an album and for better quality sound? Not like maybe in like the 40s, but you know.
Yeah, I think they could because it's all using equipment that hasn't really changed.
I guess that's like true,
The production process of records, I'm saying this now, we're going to get some Jack White fan who says I'm wrong because they've invented something. But as far as I know, it's all like it's all vintage like equipment. It's all
sure
maybe newly manufactured equipment that's the same as it was back then.
Yeah,
because right.
nothing like has fundamentally changed about it. Yeah, that was a business choice at that point of like, do you want to spend the extra money to make an extra record or do you just want to pocket that money?
And like, and then again, like the out of necessity, we only have like we have this much material. We need to put it on.
Right.
We need to get it on a record.
Like, well, and records only became like a audiophile high fidelity kind of like thing, if you will, which, you know, we can talk about that a different time, but like that's not a thing that has always existed with records either. Records are just like a way to play music. And
yeah,
newsflash, people don't care about audio quality. Look at Spotify. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. It's less convenient to have better audio if you have like one less song on each side.
And that's kind of the thing that I mean with like it's still out of necessity for it. You know,
yeah.
This is just how it has to end up because of the technology would have existed for better sound, but it would be a lot better to just let's just put it on one record instead of worrying about splitting up my maybe I have a record that's 44 minutes long and I want it to sound great, but I'm not gonna because I want it or it still sound great, but like
right.
I
well, you don't have enough to fit now four sides.
Yeah.
You would have three, and then it's like, well, you're paying for that other fourth side, whether you use it or not. So,
yeah. Blake says, you can master music to fit more songs on a side at a loss of clarity, for sure. Yeah, I think that's mastering, but also, like, probably some kinds of, like, compression, too, right? But I guess I don't know for sure how vinyl works. So,
yeah, I think it's got to be mastering in terms of how much output is hitting the vinyl itself.
Sure. Yeah.
So then compression would logically be less output because you're compressing it, so it's not as much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I hope someone's listening to this going, these guys are fucking idiots.
I hope so. I want
Blake said exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Email in and tell us why we're wrong. You want to come tell us that we're wrong on the show.
I want people to be enraged. This is a total sidebar. I posted a TikTok of when we talked about cover songs and and we admitted that we actually didn't know that that Nirvana song was a David Bowie song first.
Yeah.
And the
when we were children.
And the comments were, how did you not know that? He literally says that's a David Bowie song. And I'm like, I love you.
Yeah.
Please.
This is great.
Please,
this is great for our
give
engagement,
me
right?
more. Give me more of this. It's oh, working. Yes.
It's working.
I also think it's important to mention something else that Blake said earlier. He said that I associate double albums with concept albums a lot of the time. And I think I felt the same way for a long time. I think for a long time I thought, well, why else would you need that if not for like a concept?
Well, I do think it lends itself to bands who want to do artists who want to do a concept album. Like if you are intentionally splitting your work in half potentially just because you don't have, not because you need the extra room to put more songs there. You want the separation. You're probably very much a band or an artist who will like make a concept album at some point. It, you know, lends itself to that format pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that there's really, really something to continue to be said about like the streaming part of that too. I think that when you make all the material, when you make all this music, and you want to put it out there, having a double album and having a medium like streaming to just put it out there and go, I have a double album, is an awesome thing to do. But holy shit, I think it's also important to look at your album and go, do I need all this material?
Mm-hmm. Be more scrutinous.
Yeah. I don't ever want to like, you know, tell someone
Stadium Arcadium.
Well, I think something that I'm hesitant to ask it because I don't know what my answer is, but like, are there any double albums that you guys like?
No. No, sorry. Let me clarify. There is no, I can't think of an example of a double album that I've gotten into that I thought, man, am I glad there's two of these.
There's a Nick Cave double album?
There's at least one. Okay. I would argue Ghostine also is. Okay. Because it's kind of thematically like split.
Okay.
But yeah, his double album is actually what got me into him.
Okay.
So yeah, my answer for that is yes. M83 has one, which is my favorite album of theirs.
Okay.
I tend to prefer longer albums from artists that I like, at least. It's definitely harder to like sell somebody on listening to an album though if it's a double album.
You know, obviously early on a lot of like compilation albums ended up being double albums, and I understand that.
I mean, that's kind of
or greatest hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Bitches Brew? That's a double album, apparently.
I didn't know that counted as a double album. Say,
shut up.
No. I'm trying to figure out what to say about it. I think it has its place in music history, but I think it could have been any length and it would have been fine.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. I was at a party once when I was younger, and it was probably 5:30 in the morning and the sun was up, and that wasn't my cue to go home. It was that then they started listening to Bitches Brew. And I was like, this party's over.
Okay, I got you. I can't. I honestly don't know. I'm sure there are double albums that I like, but I tried to think about this most of today, and I was like, I just can't think of a double album that like I really like. Like there are albums like I mentioned that like I guess you could consider to be maybe kind of double album adjacent, but are not. They're not officially double albums. So like, I can't. It's not right. Really. Oh,
I mean, Radiohead has. At least
in Rainbows.
OK Computer and in Rainbows both would be.
Okay. Are you talking about OK Computer in terms of
length? I'm assuming it.
OK, not OK. The re-release or just OK Computer itself?
I think the original album is long enough that it would be two, I think. But
I maybe would consider Kid A and Amnesiac to be.
Those are another one. It's like they could have been, but they weren't. Yeah.
In Your Honor.
Yeah.
Fighters. Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's a double album I like for sure.
That's a good. Yeah.
Then yeah. Okay. Yeah. I love that one.
Yeah.
And that's it's.
I love that one.
It kind of fits the thematic thing too. There's a different feeling to each side.
Yeah.
Okay. But even that one, I love that record.
Even that one, he just listens to the first album.
I wish they would have. I don't wish they would have because I love all the songs on those two records.
Yeah.
But it would have been better if they had been more scrutinous and just put a mix of all of the
songs. Telling they didn't do it again.
Well, yeah, because the next album was Echo, Silence, Patience, and Grace, where they did exactly that.
Yeah, they mixed it all up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, mix it up. I do like In Your Honor a lot, though.
Smashing Pumpkins is a good suggestion, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
They did it again with some other albums, and it didn't work.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the reason.
Not Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, Guns N' Roses. I haven't even listened to that.
The Wall by Pink Floyd.
Top 3. Blake, yeah. I'm surprised Blake likes that.
And then
wait, am I? No, I'm not.
No. That makes sense as a double album too, because it fits the concept album thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
It's just a long ass album at that point.
Yeah.
Blake also mentioned Being There by Wilco. Again, more Wilco for us.
Yeah.
Another example of a band that didn't do it again though. Because it does feel like a thing that everybody has to do at a certain like point of popularity, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you probably don't do it again.
Yeah.
You probably have one good double album in you. And maybe a second one, depending on what kind of band you are. Like Nine Inch Nails has a couple that are double albums. But maybe you don't do it again.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Because there is that point of you do have to have some editorial of like...
It's important.
We need to fit on this. What's next? Is a triple album next? How far do you go with that?
I think it's maybe time that I begin my shit talking.
Do it. Go for it.
So, you know, like we said at the beginning, the reason that we're here is because Taylor Swift released a double album. It's one of those things where it is kind of split in half. There are two producers. I haven't listened to it yet, so I don't know how distinct the sounds are. But that does look like, and there are like, you know, plenty of different, you know, because when she announced the album, we were under the impression that she wrote it like a couple years ago, and it was about her relationship with Joe Alwyn. Mm-hmm. And then we now know there's other stuff in there. Okay. This is a take that I fully agree with, that I have seen online, that I like. I think that this kind of sums up how I feel about this double album existing. It is incredibly powerful that Taylor Swift has been able to go re-record her music and make it her own again, but it is very it is concerning the amount of vault songs that she is releasing and just going, I'll just fucking release everything now. Which means that when she does this, like a double album, she can just release whatever she wants.
Mm-hmm.
She can go, I'm going to release the album. Actually, let's release all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it all on one thing and call it a double album. And this is the scrutinizing thing that I think is really important.
Yeah.
I think that I haven't listened to the album, so I don't have an opinion on whether or not this album should be just a single or a double album. But I do think that it is important to note that if someone's not telling you no and you're just dropping a bunch of things with all of these from the vault record songs, and then it's time to release an album, you can go, let's put all of it on there. Fucking. And she might have held something back, but I do think that it's a bit much in certain situations.
With the two producer thing, it feels really weird too, of like, here are two albums that I wanted to make, but I have to do this first one with producer A because they're more popular and that's going to make more money.
That's what I was going to say. It sucks to be producer too.
But maybe not, because it might be this is the album she actually wanted to make.
Yeah.
And just knows that it wouldn't sell as well or whatever. I mean, it's Taylor Swift, so she doesn't it won't matter.
Yeah, she's arguably the biggest artist in the world right now.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to do anything.
Right. It just feels weird.
Yeah.
Because I can see an argument for like it sucks for both of those producers.
Right.
Yes.
That it's not mixed up and it's just like.
Yeah, and it's not letting your work stand on its own, even mm-hmm. for a fucking hour.
Yeah.
Which is the real weird, bizarre part to me of like...
I feel like you don't curse that much on the show.
I was going to say the same thing.
It sounds good.
Okay. I didn't know it works well. I guess I'm stuck in like NPR mode.
F-words.
Like, fuck.
There's a Discord I'm in with some people who are big Taylor Swift fans.
Okay.
And they were really excited about it. And they were like talking about it as a double album. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Like, I've been completely disconnected. I haven't seen any of this. I'm not going to have time to listen to it. Now it's a double album. I have to listen to a whole like double album.
Dude.
And they were like, oh yeah, it got announced an hour after the record came out. I'm like, so you hadn't even finished the first album. Yeah. And then it was like, surprise, you have more homework now.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Cause I feel like that's the thing you should do. Like maybe the older way of doing it would be you release the album. Then you release this double album thing a couple weeks later, a month later.
Yeah, or next year to get more Grammys.
It's like
you're reducing how many Grammys you can win.
No cussing, the baby is in the room. Sorry, Margo.
I definitely like. It's such a weird thing to release all that music. Like, you're right. She could have done, like, a year later, like, here's a bonus disc.
That was, I'm being facetious. No, she's going to win all the Grammys anyway.
Wasn't, like, Midnight's had a different album, like, a version of the album.
Yeah.
The deluxe edition that came out, like, a couple days later.
Yeah, you could
do that.
It
just feels weirdly, like, disrespectful of your fans to be like, I know you just listened to this whole thing, and many of you have school or work tomorrow. Also, now you have to stay up another hour. You have to listen to.
I mean, I would freak the hell out if my favorite artist just did that.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this is amazing.
And I think that's
this is Christmas.
I think I get that part, but at the same time, it does kind of get to the point of like, this is just oversaturation of everything.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped in a couple years.
Yeah. I think this is something where like I have to like check myself a lot because I have like harsh opinions about sometimes people, you know, overhyping some like certain pop artists.
Uh-huh.
I have to remind myself like, wait, hold on. No.
Yeah.
This is cool. People liking music is cool.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, Hagen. Like this is an awesome thing that people are like excited about this and get to listen to this album for 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, and again, like with Midnight's, it's cool that people are listening to the whole album.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
I realize that's a super old man take
now,
by me, but
no, I agree. I agree.
I think that's cool. We need more people just not listening to just like a single song. It's like, oh yeah, I'm a fan of so and so artist. You're like, okay, what's more than one song?
Yeah. Like, no, I get
more into it, and
I 100% agree of what you just said. All of that to be said, that I will circle back and say, scrutinize your albums.
Yes.
It's okay to go like, nah, that one shouldn't make it.
Quality over quantity.
But in this case, it is like I would probably be willing to gamble that majority of double albums that have existed that aren't like live records are or box sets if we count those
or very involved concept records.
Well, I think they're on the minority side of double albums that are going to lead towards the quantity over quality.
Right.
I think the majority of double albums are quantity over quality,
yes,
excluding the ones that I said.
Right, things that have like a things
except
that have
for
a,
the
like,
ones I like.
The
like
no,
a
no,
thematic
no, no, no.
like split. Like,
I'm joking.
The live music things I don't think should count in that.
I don't. Sure. I think it's weird to count that as a double album anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like the box sets. I think box sets shouldn't count as that
best
because the
of.
Whole point of a box set is like, here's a bunch of stuff. Don't you want a bunch of stuff? Like this isn't. It's not sold to the majority of public. That's sold to the super fan. You know, like she could have sold Tortured Poet Society box set, which she still might.
Yeah.
So.
But wait, probably. There's more.
Yeah.
Albums 3 and 4.
I mean.
There you go. I just genuinely said floor.
Albums 3 and 4.
3 and 4.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I this is such a thing where I think like the history of double albums is super interesting. Out of necessity, we grew to cassettes, and now we're in this world of and CDs. Now we're in this world of streaming, where it can help. It can potentially double your streams if people listen to the album. While at the same time, it can hold you back, and you know, someone can click your Spotify and see that there's like even 15 songs. Someone could look at it and go, "That's a lot of songs."
What?
Oh, the back half of that album's not getting listened to.
Exactly.
Even as somebody who wants, I want to listen to the album.
Yeah.
And I haven't had time to do the first album, which is an hour long, I believe, already.
Yeah.
Or more. So it was already like, well, now that is going to be increasingly harder for me to find the time to listen to the whole thing the way I want to. Now I have to do that for like a movie runtime.
Yeah.
And this is a constant thing I run into of like, I want to watch a movie. And then I'm like, oh, I don't have 2 hours to watch a movie. I have an hour and 45 minutes and movies are 7 hours now.
Yeah.
So
there
we are.
And you can see some artists starting to label double albums on streaming platforms like tracks 1 through 8. And then it'll say over again, like tracks 1 through 8.
Right.
Right.
Where they're labeling it to be specifically broken up in a certain way.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
But, yeah, it's weird.
Well, like the deluxe edition of Guts has that. It's like, at least on title, it's separated. The bonus tracks from the actual record. I'm like, that's great, because then I can go listen to those if I have a smaller amount of time and I want to listen to that.
Spotify will do it where it's like, it's just you click on the album of that's the bonus track or the deluxe album, and then it's just all there. But it will usually say like parentheses, like bonus track.
Yeah.
And then like Apple Music, like I listened to Bristin Maroney's Sunflower Deluxe more than the original, but I have to click the original, scroll down to the fucking bottom, and then it's like more versions of the album. Here's the deluxe, click it, and then there's the whole thing.
There's not a good way to do any of that. They all seem like they all get it wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the idea of doing a deluxe or a double album or a sesqui album or a triple album.
Squee-squee
album.
Or is, a floor album. Or a floor part.
Yeah. Is that you would want to listen to it like in sequence, in order, right?
Wouldn't that be the intention? Yeah.
That would be the idea.
It is, you get more plays because everybody's playing the whole album again too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. If that's the idea, then I feel like you'd want the streaming services to get that right as to how you're supposed to listen to it.
They all seem to have different takes on how that should be handled, though. So.
Yeah.
I look forward to the whatever. What's it called?
Squee-squee?
No, the album's name. I can't remember the album's name either because it's long compared to her normal album names.
Oh, the
Tortured Poets Society.
I keep wanting to say Dead Poets Society.
Same, dude. Same.
But
that Robin Williams album.
Yeah, I look forward to the deluxe version of this being like a longer than Oppenheimer or something.
Yeah.
So, but before we move off this, like we mentioned, there are triple albums. Do you guys know any album that is a triple album? Does anyone in the chat know an album that's a triple album? Don't Google.
I mentioned Nine Inch Nails earlier. I think that The Fragile probably is a triple album.
Okay.
I don't know if that's my copy of it I have, is that's just how they repressed it later, or if that's how it originally was, though.
Very well might have been. It's
a long-ass album.
So,
Heather said your mom.
What the fuck? That's so...
Whose mom?
First of all, mine's here right now.
Mine might be here.
So let's apologize real quick. No, I'm kidding. She can take it. She's around kids. The Weeknd's compilation album, Trilogy, is considered a triple album, which is a compilation album.
Hold on. What was that, though? Like,
what was Trilogy?
Yeah.
So it was released as a triple album in 2012. It has his earlier mixtapes, House of Balloons, Thursday, and Echoes in Silence.
I thought it was going to be for his previous like two most recent albums, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense because he's already said these are a trilogy. How would you have?
Okay, I'm looking up the length of this in a second, but Christina Aguilera's ninth studio album, Aguilera, was separated into three parts.
All right,
that's a lot of riffs.
But I am okay. Well, this is a fucking cop out. The first one's 20 minutes long.
That seems like a money grab.
Then 15 minutes long, and then
the second one's 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
See, that's why they had to clarify. It's 100 minutes. It's got to be 100 minutes.
That's
or more.
That's a fucking cop out. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, triple albums exist too. So I think like it, that's a you know there's there's I guess this is a live record the Great Concert of Charles Mingus by Charles Mingus was recorded in 1964 and then released in 1971 as a triple album. Mm-hmm. That's 129 minutes on vinyl and 127 minutes on CD. God damn, that's long. Fuck.
Yeah.
There's such a thing as triple albums, and I think somewhere in the world there's probably quadruple albums and quintuple albums and so on.
Coheed and Cambria probably did one.
There will be a box set of the
They're
whole
not,
story.
Actually, are they not on the double album list? I'm surprised by that.
I don't know.
We didn't mention them.
No, they have albums that are like the Between the Buried and Me concept things that are connected, but they're not released as double albums. I mean, I don't...
Their album titles are long enough to be on two albums.
True. They might have released... what's that one? Fuck, I can't remember what it's called. They have these two albums that are named similarly. They might
Good
have
Apollo
like,
on Burning Star Volume.
No, that's just called Good Apollo on Burning Star. And then four. That's it.
There's not that. I tried.
There's like the Afterman 1 and 2 or something like that. And then there's Vaxxis Act 1 and 2. But I don't think any of those. They might have had like releases where they were.
Oh, I'm sure they've been released together, but not at the same.
They were not released. Yeah, they were not released at the same time.
I mean, I guess to that point, does Taylor Swift's count as a double album because they were released an hour apart?
Get shit on. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say they count.
I think they count, yeah.
It's like this year, the Grammys are announcing a new category, Double Album of the Year. It's like fucking.
Honestly,
fuck.
I could see them
Kill
doing
me.
That.
Yeah.
I could see them
me
doing that.
Now, that sucks. but I think that about wraps us up for double albums for now. I say for now because for everyone who's on Patreon, get ready, because not right now, but we are going to listen to
every single double album.
Every single double album.
It's going to be a double episode.
It's a double episode where we listen to every single double album, and that's it.
All at the same time.
All at the same time.
Like it's, Flaming Lips style.
Twice through. Yeah. We are going to listen to the new Taylor Swift album on our on Patreon. Not tonight. Not right now. But that will happen. So we will return to double albums, and we will return to specifically the double album that brought us here on our Patreon. So if you're not already on the Patreon or on our social medias, get on that shit so you can see when we do that, and you can follow along there.
And we'll probably do it live with them, maybe.
Since
we can do that on Patreon.
Yeah.
So
We can.
If you want to commit to 2 hours and 20 minutes with us
of music, we're also going to be talking about it.
Yeah, we're going to be pausing and all that kind of stuff. So if you want to hang out with us,
it's
over like, 2 hours.
It's probably going to be how long is the episode going to be? Like four?
I would say low 2.5, probably like 3 hours.
Half a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah. It'll be a time. So if you're not on the Patreon, join us there. We have a couple other posts. I did a gig vlog. It's posted. So if you're curious about that, that's up there. We'll be doing one of those at the very least monthly between me and Dave's gigs. So join us for that. But for now, let's talk about what we're listening to. What you guys got?
I've been listening to Dark Matter, the new Pearl Jam record.
What'd you think?
It's making me think about new music in a different way because I'm hearing new stuff and I'm like, I don't know if I'm really into it. And this album, I'm like, I don't know if I'm really into it, but I'm going to continue listening to it because I already trust Pearl Jam.
Okay, that's good.
So I'm into it. I know that there's more to it than I've it's deeper than I've plumbed the depths of.
This is a real trend for you this year of listening to an album and going, I'm going to listen to this more, and then you like it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's my
year.
It's okay. It
seems good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm growing.
You're growing. Yeah. That's fine. I don't really have a whole lot. Like I said, I saw Hot Mulligan. This is not like entirely new, but the band that opened for them is a band called Free Throw. And they've been around for a long time. I listened to their album Lessons That We Swear to Keep that released last year, and I quite enjoyed it. I also listened to a little bit of the most recent, we listened to this on Fun Fridays, a little bit, the CU Space Cowboy record. I listened to some of that. That was really good. Just feels like fucking 2007 all over again. I do want to give a shout out to some friends and who, you know, good people who have released music locally. I feel like we should do that more often. We don't do it enough. A student of mine, he's in a band called The Park Sitters, and he released a song called My Wannabe. It's great. A friend of ours named Bobby is in a band called Real. They released a song called Four Eagle / The Plague of Hindsight. And then another local band called Bifocals released a song called today called Amelia Saves a Unicorn. These are all great local DFW, specifically Denton bands and artists. In a similar vein to that, friend of the show, Jackson's band, Visitor Parking, releases their new single, I believe tomorrow.
I think so, yeah.
If you're in the mood to check out some smaller bands, some singles, these are all great choices. These are some musicians that are putting their fucking heart and soul into these albums, or into these singles. So follow those bands around. They really are crushing it. Anybody got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're here on YouTube, like I said earlier, if you haven't already, please just come over on YouTube if you're listening and hit the subscribe button. We're very close to 100 subscribers. It's not like a big thing, but I want it. So please help us.
I think we get something for that, right? Nope. Don't we get to like rename the channel or something
They send a piece of wood over. You know, they send like the plaques over if you hit like a million. They send just a piece of wood.
No, it's just some scrap wood. That's what they package the plaques
in. It's just a fucking plank with someone who just like took a knife and just crudely drew the YouTube symbol on that plank.
Then when you get 150,
don't feed artists.
Yeah.
When you get 150, you get mailed a chisel.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
make your own plaque.
Please, if you're listening, come on over to YouTube, hit that subscribe button. It helps us out a lot. If you're listening and you also haven't followed or subscribed to every podcast app you're using, do that. Leave a little 5-star review. That helps us out a ton. If you're on social media, you can find us, DFTA Podcast on Instagram, Don't Feed the Artist on TikTok. Please follow those pages as well. It seriously helps us out a ton. Like the videos, like the YouTube shorts, all that good shit. If you have any topic ideas, if you want to say hi, if you want to tell us how wrong we were about vinyl, Not only can you drop a comment on those previously mentioned social medias, but you could email us at feedback@don'tbetheartist.com. We would love to hear from you guys and tell us how wrong you are. If you're not already in the chat telling us how wrong we are all the time, which we love to hear. And if you catch me in a bad mood, then I'll yell at you. And that's just part of the fun of the live chat.
You never know what you're going to get.
And one final thing, we do, I guess two final things. Like I mentioned, Patreon, come find us on Patreon, patreon.com/don'tbetheartist, I think is just what it is.
I hope so.
It's easy to find. You can find it. You're smart people. So go find us there. And then on Fridays, come hang out with me and Dave. You listen to new music on Fridays, fun Fridays. You can drop suggestions in the chat. We're also live on Twitch for that as well. So you can come hang out in Twitch, twitch.tv/DFTA podcast. And you can follow us there. We have fun emotes on Twitch. Not quite on YouTube. We have to get more subscribers for that. So help us out with that. Cool. Thank you guys so much. That's a whole lot. I'm tired of talking. All right.
Fuck off. Get rid of the title.
Do we clap at the end now?
Everybody.
Yay, oh, okay. Album, triple album.
That's amazing.
I did it.
Look at our guy.
Wow. I did it. I made it. I was late.